WBTV's Good Question is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
Election Day is just over a month away. It's a midterm year, but a political science professor tells us voter turnout could be above average. We're asking, which races should we be paying attention to, and what's driving voter turnout?
I think it's a tale of two different electorates, and I think Trump is the dividing line.
This is WBTV's Good Question. Dr. Michael Bitzer, professor of politics at Catawba College, thank you again for talking with us here.
My pleasure to be with you.
We are about a month away from Election Day here in North Carolina. In general, what do you think voters need to pay the most attention to with this particular election?
I think certainly midterm elections, and this one in particular, is playing out as we classically think of midterm elections, and that is a referendum on the president and the president's party. Now, I think in terms of policy issues, what I'm seeing this midterm really devolve into is kind of a tale of two different political parties and how they view going towards November 8th. On the Republican side, it is certainly much the referendum on Joe Biden and the dynamics of a Democratic president with a Democratic Congress. And the big issue is the economy, specifically inflation. That is what all Republican candidates for Congress are trying to tie in the voters' minds: inflation, Joe Biden, the Democratic candidate. I think on the Democratic side, it's the tale of abortion and issues there. And I think that both sides are going to kind of weaponize these policy issues to attack the other side. And it's almost as if they're kind of talking past each other, trying to reach those few persuadable undecided voters at this point in the election. That number will shrink as we get towards November. And the big question, again, as it is for every election, what is turnout going to look like?
What do you expect for turnout for this particular midterm? Do you think the fact that there are so many people concerned about inflation and Roe v. Wade, do you think that's enough to boost turnout, even though this is a midterm?
I have a sneaky suspicion that we will see a significant boost in turnout. You know, if we go past 2018, the last midterm, and go back to the midterms of 2014 and 2010, North Carolina registered voter turnout was in the low 40s. In 2018, something unusual happened because we didn't have a U.S. Senate race or a major statewide race at the top of the ballot to really draw in attention. That turnout rate went from 43% in 2014 to 53% in 2018. And then we saw in 2020 turnout of 75%. So my suspicion is we should at least hit perhaps the 50 percentage mark for this year's midterm. I would not be surprised if we exceeded that considerably. We're already seeing an uptick in the absentee by mail ballots. It's a kind of indicator of how much energy and enthusiasm is out there. So I dare say we may see a considerable turnout rate, something that we have not experienced here in North Carolina in quite a few election cycles.
How indicative are the results of midterm elections when it comes to an upcoming presidential election? If, say, we have a big, you know, Republican midterm victory, is that bode well for the Republican challenger in the upcoming presidential election?
I wouldn't necessarily count on that, because what we know is midterms generally tend to be those referendums on the president. And what tends to happen is presidential years, the party loyalists come into play. And so certainly that dynamic of a presidential year is very different from a midterm year. Yes, it will be a setup towards 2024 this November. And I think one of the big questions is, how much influence does Donald Trump continue to have on various electorates? And will that set him up for a possible additional run for the Republican nomination and for the bid for another presidential term come 2024?
even when it comes to these midterm elections, do you think former President Trump's influence has enough sway on some Republican voters one way or the other? Do you think that some voters will say, well, this person is backed by former President Trump, I'm going to go out and vote for them? Or could it have the reverse effect and say, well, I'm not going to waste my time voting for them because they're backed by President Trump?
I think it's a tale of two different electorates, and I think Trump is the dividing line. Certainly among hardcore Republican voters, they are still very much behind the former president. I think his support is still substantial. If you look at how the U.S. Senate Republican nomination played out here in North Carolina, Ted Budd got over 50%. Throw in Mark Walker's single-digit percentage. He was also a very Trump-like candidate, and you get two-thirds of the Republican primary electorate voting for a candidate that was aligned closely with Donald Trump. So I think the Republican base is still very much behind the president and following his cues and endorsements. On the same token, Democrats want Donald Trump on this year's ballot because that energizes their side and potentially plays an influence with the handful, the single-digit percentage of persuadable swing voters in the state to move election victories one way or the other.
I feel like that's when it gets really, really interesting when we talk about politics and these competitive races, especially in a state like North Carolina. You brought up that North Carolina Senate race, Budd versus Beasley. I know that's the one we're seeing all the advertisements for right now. First things first, how important is that race in general?
I think certainly with the Senate equally divided, all the seats become necessary for both political parties. And Republicans need to keep this seat. It is currently held by Richard Burr. They want to keep this seat and then build off of some potential victories in other states to add to their majority and capture the majority. Democrats, if they could pick up North Carolina, that means that they have a little bit of a cushion to build in, but both sides see all of the U.S. Senate races, I mean, significantly Georgia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Arizona, New Mexico, Florida as well, along with North Carolina, being the kind of deciding factors as to who controls the Senate.
A lot of big races to watch. In general, to folks who don't pay too much attention to politics throughout the year, how would you describe Ted Budd and how would you describe Sherry Beasley to folks who aren't watching these races as closely as someone like you or I?
I think certainly these two candidates represent the nationalization of our politics. I mean, Tip O'Neill back in the 1980s, former Speaker of the U.S. House, said all politics is local. Well, nowadays, all politics is national. And so both Ted Budd and kind of to an extent, Sherry Beasley are taking national cues and are using the national dynamics to their advantage. You know, both of them, I don't think, come across necessarily as charismatic candidates. But in North Carolina, the electorate is so evenly divided between the two that I'm not real sure personality will necessarily drive so much of the dynamics. To me, this race has really kind of been a sleeper, second tier kind of race. But North Carolina is always competitive. It is always evenly divided. The thing that has truly astounded me is the flood of money just has not been coming into the state on either side. We'll see that pick up. And certainly we're seeing the ads right now. But go back just 2 years to the Cal Cunningham and Tom Tillis race, nearly $300 million. $300 million spent on just this race for U.S. Senate in just one state. I don't think we're going to hit that mark, but certainly the dynamics, again, point everything that I've seen to a close and competitive election.
Why do you think it is that we're not seeing that influx of cash like we saw with Cunningham in that race? Why are we not seeing that now with Beasley versus Budd?
Well, certainly the election fundamentals point to a lean advantage Republican. status. And so I think Democrats have to defend so many other seats that they're being strategic in where they can go. There was an article just yesterday in the Washington Post that basically said the chief senator who is running the Democrats' campaign strategy kind of looks at North Carolina and goes, I don't know what to do with that state because it has been so competitive, but it has tended to always kind of be fool's gold for Democrats to try and win North Carolina. I think the dynamic is certainly there. Democrats have become energized over the Roe v. Wade abortion decision. That will certainly help them. I think, you know, anything can go in this state. And if investments of time, energy, and manpower, particularly to get voters out to the polls, gets put into this state, things can tip slightly from a center-lean right state to a center-lean left state.
What do you think? I don't know if you like to get into this, but do you have a favorite right now? I know you expect a very close race. Do you think one person has the edge?
I don't. I at this point in time, a month out, anything can happen. After 2016, my crystal ball cracked. I haven't gotten it fixed. I can't find anybody to repair it. So I'm not into the prediction mode. But what I am into is kind of the dynamic of what are we seeing? What are the patterns that are emerging? And everything points to a highly competitive race. I think we'll see increased turnout. And probably the winner will be decided by maybe 2 points or less.
What other races do you think folks in North Carolina should pay attention to?
Well, I think certainly the congressional races, races in Mecklenburg, particularly the new congressional district, the 14th, those are by all metrics lean Democratic. So I don't think that there will be that big of an issue. The big race that everybody in the state and in the nation is watching is the 13th congressional district just south of Raleigh, moving into Johnston County. I think that that race is literally a 50-50 kind of seat. And if things generally tend to play out as they do in midterms, you will start to see a shift to the opposition party, in this case, the Republicans. If someone like Bo Hines can pick up that seat, that indicates to me a probably very good evening for Republicans. If the Democrats, Wiley Nichols, can claim that seat, then that means Democrats have built some kind of a firewall nationally that could potentially mitigate some of their losses.
Gotcha. Any other races that you'd highlight in North Carolina? I know last time we talked about Madison Cawthorn, he lost to Chuck Edwards. Yeah. Edwards is taking on, correct me if I'm wrong, it's Jasmine Beach Ferreira, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Any
in the 11th, yeah.
Is that expected to be a close race, or do you think Edwards has that one?
I think by the metrics and the standards that we use, that is a pretty safe Republican seat. So the way that this map has been drawn, it's pretty much a 7 Republican, 6 likely Democratic seats by the end of the evening on November 8th into the 9th. And that one seat, the 13th district, could decide if North Carolina is an evenly split state, a 7-7 congressional district kind of a state, or a slight advantage Republican 8-6.
I just have a few more for you before we let you go here. What is your pitch to people as to why they should vote in this midterm election?
Well, this is our game, folks. This is we the people. And in a democratic republic, it needs the voice of citizens to express their will at the ballot box. You know, in other countries, we have the expression of popular will through bullets, through violence. We need to be able to say to the rest of the world, we will conduct ourselves through the ballot box, through a system that is fair, safe, and secure in terms of election administration, and that rely on the people to make sure that this grand experiment in a democracy, in a republic system of government, continues into the future. Yes, a lot of people will say, why should I vote? My vote doesn't matter. It does matter. And it does matter because your voice is being heard along with your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. Everybody's voice matters in this system. And I think it's important for people to understand the fairness of our election system, but also that there is security. There are double checks. There are checks and balances. There's accountability in how the votes get processed and counted.
Earlier in the conversation, you mentioned a couple of those big U.S. Senate races. Are those the main races outside of North Carolina you'll have your eyes on?
Yeah, certainly Pennsylvania and Georgia. I think Georgia has really have become the wild card. Nobody knows what's going to happen in Georgia. And I think that that is the new dynamic in Georgia politics. You know, the other races, could the Democrats flip Ohio? Florida is another historic candidacy of an African-American woman seeking the U.S. Senate race. A state like Wisconsin could be one as well. States like Arizona and New Mexico also. So I think that there's a handful of U.S. Senate seats that at this point in time, it could go either way slightly, one way or the other, but it will be closely divided when the dust settles.
And just anything in particular you're watching for in the weeks leading up to the elections?
Well, I think certainly the big factor here in North Carolina politics and North Carolina voting is early voting. We are already underway with the absentee by mail votes. We're seeing record numbers of both requests and returns of that. But more importantly, will be early in-person voting, starting on Thursday, October 20th, going through Saturday, November 4th or something like that. I'm mixing up my dates, but it's the last Saturday before the general election. The bulk of the votes, I think, will come through early voting, both by mail, but most heavily by early voting in person. And in 2020, we had about 16% of all the votes cast come on election day. So that to me says North Carolinians love early voting. They already know who they're going to vote for. They're locked in. They're going to bank their ballots. And that is the dynamic, I think, moving forward, trends to watch.
Dr. Michael Bitzer, professor of politics at Catawba College. Thank you for joining me, sir.
My pleasure.
Before we leave you, some important dates here for voters in North Carolina. October 14th is the civilian voter registration deadline. After this point, only same-day registration during one-stop early voting is available. On October 20th, one-stop in-person early voting begins. November 1st is the deadline for civilians to submit an absentee ballot request form. November 5th, that's one-stop in-person early voting period. That's when it ends, at 3 p.m. And then November 8th is Election Day. It is also the civilian absentee ballot return deadline. WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media. From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jack Vandertal. Special thanks to Jamie Bull. For the Queen City Podcast Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz and Maria Delgado. Production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios at Huga Coworking in Charlotte, North Carolina.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.